Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hey, good afternoon. It's Karen Owicki, CEO and President of Phoenix Business Radio X. And as you can tell, we are out about town today. We are at the SciTech Institute STEM and Innovation Summit, and we are doing brief little interviews with the folks who are really making an impact on behalf of our students and education as it relates to workforce readiness. We are here with another segment, and I would like to introduce you to two folks. We've got someone from Baltu Corporation. We have their CEO, Peter Costa. Welcome, sir.
Thank you.
Did I pronounce Baltu correctly?
Baltu. Yep.
Okay, tell us about Baltu.
All right, Baltu, we are a software technology company. And we are creating tools to enhance the future workforce. So we focus on augmenting human capability. Our previous experience has been a lot in virtual reality and augmented reality. And we want to be able to use these types of technologies for good. So I see there's a conscious capitalism sign here.
Yes.
Behind me. That was really one of the inspirations why we decided to start our company, was looking at, okay, yes, we can create a business, but can we do good? And can we focus on solving problems that are relevant to society today? So one of the big things that we look at is future of work and future of learning. And what are we doing to basically get somebody to be upskilled or reskilled into the workforce? Right now, we don't have the traditional path of job placement that existed even 10 to 20 years ago, where it was, I'm going to school to be this, and now I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. A lot of companies that we've spoken with have been talking about, I never see a new face when I go back to a place 6 months later. So this environment of people constantly moving around, new industries that could possibly get disrupted. How do we bring somebody as quickly as possible into a job position? And that's really what we're focusing on, is how quick can we reskill and upskill somebody? And we feel that we have the technology that will allow people to do that without having to go through formal training, that a lot of your training can be basically put right on the job.
Oh my gosh, so important. Are you an Arizona-based company?
Yes, we are located in Mesa.
Yeah, very good. All right, and representing Maricopa Unified School District, we have the STEAM Integration Specialist, Dr. Donna, last name?
Jagelski.
Jagelski. That actually would have been a lot easier had I just asked you before we went on air. Welcome, Dr. Donna. So glad you're here.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So tell us about your role as a STEAM Integration Specialist, and then why this summit?
Okay, well, in terms of my role as STEAM Integration Specialist, I serve the entire district. Our district is comprised of 9 schools, 1 high school, 2 middle, and 6 elementary, including a very flourishing pre-K program. And my role is, I wear a lot of hats, but really it is to work with teachers and with students as well to grow our STEM and STEAM-based program very organically. By that I mean that it's nothing that is something that is additionally placed on teachers, something that they have to go out of their way to do. It's fully integrated in what they're already doing. It's transdisciplinary. It's not something where we're growing our students to just solely become computer programmers and computer science or robotics, because it's really more about the mindset and the frame of mind. I always talk to all the staff, our administrators, everybody, that it's much more about something like what we see as the 4 C's in our education or even in our industry, which is, it's focus on communication, collaboration, creativity, and the critical thinking skills. The critical thinking skills and problem-solving skills are just ginormous. They're just so important. So, you know, when I get posed the question that, well, you know, what are you doing, you know, working with in a pre-K classroom, you know, with these preschoolers 3 and 4 years old with a robot, which of course is a screenless robot, because we need to be kind of cognizant of how much screen time we've got with our students and staying away from that. And I always tell everybody, I said, you know what? The experiences, those are STEM experiences. We're not teaching them to be you know, in STEM per se, but it's about the experiences. And what we're doing in terms of the robot and coding is really looking at those sequencing and patterns and all those type of skills. And essentially, I'm almost helping that teacher be more productive when they have their class line up to go out into the hallway and go to the bathroom, because that is a process. And that's what we're ultimately talking about, is process versus product.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, as you hear her sharing a little bit about the perspective and approach with those four C's, how important do you see critical thinking on behalf of workforce readiness?
Oh, it's, I mean, critical thinking is why we get an education, is how do you go in and basically look at a problem, break it down, and solve it. One of the things that I think technology enables us to do, and that what it will enable us to do even more, is how can we recognize the components of a situation that you're in, and can we use technology to assist you in basically solving those problems? I was always one that, even I went to school, I got a degree in physics and in music, but I was always slow at learning. It was always, for me, slow in breaking down a problem, and I felt like it didn't mean I was dumb, didn't mean that I wasn't smart. It's just I had a different way of at looking at things. And if you could use some sort of technology that helps you just break those things down to help you make decisions, I think that's really useful. But yeah, no, critical thinking is I think something that we need to democratize.
Agreed. So agreed. Physics and music. That's fascinating. Is that unique?
Renaissance man, I guess.
Yeah,
I don't
love
know.
It. And were you an educator, always an educator?
Actually, you know, strange enough that you mentioned about physics and music, I came in through the conduit of dance. I was a professional dancer, and then I really wanted to share my love of dance with others, so I went into teaching, and I taught high school dance for quite a while, and actually just it was a natural progression that I included a lot of cutting-edge technology in the dance program that I taught, for dance composition, for dance analysis, a lot of video analysis.
Cool.
So that's pretty much I came through that channel of STEAM.
It's fascinating that we're talking about education with this little perspective. I was an assistant principal for Kyrene School District for years, went on to be the VP for Pinnacle Education Incorporated. And growing up, I didn't think I was smart because I had a difficulty learning. So kind of to your point, I thought that there were very limited opportunities for me. And it wasn't until I was an administrator in Kyrene, and this is early 90s, and we were partnering with Intel Corporation, that I got to do a couple of summer internships, paid internships, and sitting at these round tables with these scientists and researchers and engineers and developers. And I was contributing to the conversation and realizing, wow, had I had the right opportunities, had I been given the gift of more science and more math, and perhaps the trajectory of my career would have gone in a different direction. I don't regret having been an educator and doing what I'm doing now, but it's fascinating that we make decisions about who we are very early on based on our experiences, and it's that critical thinking that we're talking about that has us even pop out of our own beingness to go, wait a second, mm-hmm. Is this really reality?
Yeah, no, I think one of the main components of the learning process is making mistakes. And what that making mistakes does is it brings in the iterative process of learning. And so how can you put somebody in an environment where they can make as many mistakes as they can in a consequence-free environment where they don't feel afraid to say, hey, what happens if I break this thing? And I think that's where like what we've been working a lot with virtual reality and augmented reality is really useful, because you can put people in a place where, hey, you're not going to be messing up the, you know, million-dollar piece of machinery. You're not going to be hurting somebody. You're going to be able to define what are the boundaries of the environment that you're in, and then basically say, okay, I know that when I do this, this happens, and that's not good. And so I think that's what most people that I've spoken with really enjoy, that hands-on learning, and how can you put somebody in those environments?
And I think that that's really the big challenge that we're facing in education and in our classrooms, is that there are so many educators and students that are conditioned to finding the one right answer. So much of that is placed on us impose on us from our assessment, mm-hmm. our assessments that everyone feels that everything is a multiple choice, a question and response, a true and false, where that is not real life. And what we're providing with so much of our STEM and STEAM-based learning is exactly that. It's scenario-based, and it mirrors real life, where it is not just a multiple choice, A, B, or C, A, B, C, or D, or true or false. It goes much deeper than that. You have situations and scenarios that there are multiple solutions.
Yeah, it's like a laboratory. Mm-hmm. I think that was when I took my music classes at ASU, somebody told me, well, think of your experience here as like a lab, and you can blow anything up and you can do whatever you want, and it's not going to ruin your career. People aren't going to hate you for it. Your professors are going to critique you for it, and so are your peers. And when I took that approach, yeah, there was moments where I was probably embarrassed because I tried something new, but I learned from it. And I think that's the same mentality that we need to have when it comes to learning, is it's you're here in the lab, this is a safe space, and that should be these defined learning areas. So the more that we can promote that over in our entire society, I think the better product or the better outcome that we're going to have with the learner.
I so agree. I'm thinking as you're talking about my youngest, he's 12 in middle school, and we talk about consequences at home. Like if you do something, of course, there's a consequence, sometimes an imposed consequence, sometimes a natural consequence. What you're talking about in these environments is an opportunity to practice and not have these huge, expensive and disciplinary consequences. We get to play and get used to that way of thinking so that we can experience.
That sounds like the positive thinking philosophy.
It is a little bit like the positive,
natural
yes.
consequences.
Absolutely. Listen, we're just about out of time for these little, mini interview fast rounds, but I would love for each of you, again, one more time to share who you are, where we can get a hold of you and your organization or your company. Donna, would you start for us first?
Yes. Dr. Donna Jigelski, STEAM Integration Specialist with the Maricopa Unified School District.
Peter Costa, CEO and co-founder of Baltu. Baltustudios.com, and that's BALTU Studios. We are augmenting human capability.
And the website for you guys?
Yeah, www.baltustudios.com.
Okay, perfect. And on social media as well?
At Baltu Studios.
Easy peasy.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, guys. So glad you're here. Go enjoy your afternoon.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.